A report from Shanghai as the stock market plunges in China and beyond today. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Stock trading was temporarily suspended in China today, radically shortening the trading day. So-called circuit breakers designed to pause markets when things surged down too quickly did not have their intended effect. We turn to Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz in Shanghai, who spent the day watching this.
Overnight, the country's central bank fixed China's currency to a weaker level for the fourth day in a row. Then, right before trading began this morning, the bank reversed course a little, and all of this led to panic selling. Just 10 minutes after trading opened, the market had plunged 5%, triggering a circuit breaker that halted trading for 15 minutes. But it had the opposite effect this morning. Instead, it gave traders more time to organize sell positions. And when the market reopened, panic resumed, triggering a final circuit breaker, ending the trading for the day. There were 14 minutes of trading on the Shanghai Exchange, making it the shortest trading day in the 25-year history of China's stock market.
Now, in the U.S. time zones, in Europe, you can have a psychological contagion effect. Market participants come in, they hear the headlines like this. Rob, to what extent are U.S. markets and the U.S. economy tied up and intertwined with China's?
You know, Wall Street often gets really jittery at times like this, but if you take a look at the actual American economy, it's been proven that it's not really that exposed to China. China accounts for just 7% of total American exports, which represents less than 1% of U.S. GDP. So regardless of how Wall Street reacts, an economic downturn in China should have limited impact on our economy.
Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
The key index on the Shanghai Exchange lost 6.9% in that shortened trading window. Hong Kong's market fell more than 3%, and the impulse to sell moved beyond Asia. The 100-share index in London, for instance, is down 2.7% now. The DAX in Germany down 3.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down, with the S&P future down 2.3%. The Dow future down 390 points. Some capital moved toward Japan, with the yen up to 117.6. The euro's up at $1.08.5. The storm system that flooded Missouri and Moore and sent tornadoes through the Dallas area was also responsible for a blizzard in the Texas Panhandle and eastern New Mexico, with snowdrifts 10 feet high. Dairy herds took it hard, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
It looks like more than 30,000 cows are dead because of that blizzard over Christmas weekend. Tara Vanderdusen runs Ragin Dairy in Clovis, New Mexico. She's got about 10,000 cows and says her farm had to dump 10 tankers of finished milk because trucks couldn't get out to them to pick it up.
And that's about the equivalent of $80,000.
New Mexico produces a lot of dairy. Vanderdusen says everyone she knows is in the business. Her farm lost about 100 cows. She says some neighbors lost many more.
It was devastating to hear just all the stories coming in from the storm because we are all so close.
That seems like a lot of cows, but Brian Gould doesn't think it'll change national prices much. He teaches agricultural and applied economics at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He says there are more than 9 million cows in the U.S., but this could be tough for this region.
I would think that most of those producers that were impacted sell to one plant. That plant could be severely impacted.
The USDA will have a better idea of the storm's effects when it releases its monthly report of milk production. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
The federal government is considering a ban on smoking in the 1.2 million units of public housing it oversees, not just public areas. People wouldn't be able to smoke in their apartments. It's about the health of residents, but it would also save taxpayers $150 million a year in health care costs, repairs, and fires. From the Marketplace Wealth and Poverty Desk, Noel King reports.
Equanda Willis lives in a public housing complex in Brooklyn. She's 37 and has been smoking for two decades.
I seen people smoke and I thought it was cool, but then I got addicted and I just never quit.
She'd like to quit, but she doesn't think HUD has the right to tell her what to do in her own home.
I believe that people should be able to smoke. If they pay rent there, they should be able to like smoke where they want to smoke.
Public housing tenants typically pay around 30% of their income in rent. The rest is subsidized. Willis is also not convinced the ban would be enforceable.
It's going to be kind of hard, not unless they're going to have, like, security guards standing at people's apartments sniffing out cigarette smoke. I don't understand how it's going to work.
New York City has the largest public housing authority in the U.S. Around 400,000 New Yorkers live in public housing developments. Joanne Allen was grabbing a smoke outside of the public housing complex where she lives when we met. At first, she was resigned.
If they do it, hey, it is what it is. Hey, another law.
But after she'd had a second to think about it.
It's okay with me. Give or take, I think it would be good because I'll keep the smoke away from my family and everything. Secondhand smoke is a killer.
Alfred Woods is also a smoker. He worries about what'll happen to people who live in public housing and can't quit.
It's going to be unfortunate for low-income people and poor people who do smoke and to be evicted over smoking in an apartment, which is going to cause a great dilemma for living situations.
The goal is not to evict people. The goal is to reduce smoking.
That is Sonia Zaderman, executive director of the Council of Large Public Housing Authorities. It's a nonprofit that represents 70 of the biggest housing authorities in the U.S. and sometimes works with HUD. She says a ban would start with education, not punishment. And she points out some housing authorities already ban smoking.
We do have a number of housing authorities that do have experience in undertaking these kinds of policies and implementing them.
HUD says so far this is just a proposal. The federal housing body says residents' concerns are in part exactly why it has opened up the proposed ban to a period of public comment. I'm Noelle King for Marketplace.
And new research suggests a link between the gender pay gap and anxiety and depression in women. Researchers controlled for education and work experience diagnosed depression was 2.5 times higher among women earning less than the equivalent men, peer-reviewed in the journal Social Science and Medicine. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.